Amen. So we're going to be in Matthew if you're visiting with us. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. 1 through 12. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for your protection, your guidance, your wisdom, and your love as we sung about today. Thank you for your word. Lord, help me teach this and preach this the way you put it on my heart. Lord, I need your help this morning. I pray for all the folks that are home sick and not feeling well or traveling. We pray that you keep them safe and heal them wherever they need to be healed. Lord, lift up our missionaries around the country and our military. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's read together. I know we read this last Sunday, but we're going to read it again. We're going through the book of Matthew. So if you're new, we're going to by verse by verse, teaching, preaching, Bible study, whatever you want to call it, through the book of Matthew. And there's a reason for that, and I feel like the Lord's guiding us in that direction. So we finished Matthew 1, right? And then we got into Matthew 2 a little bit. We're going to stay in Matthew 2 for maybe a week or two because there's just so much meat. There's so much information. I'm definitely going into teaching mode. So, you know, let's take notes, pay attention, that kind of thing. I think it'll be beneficial for you. So let's revisit Matthew chapter 2. Here we go. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem, Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." And everybody said? Amen. Amen. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to finish this one or not, but we're going to cover verses. Really, we're going to go back and look a little bit of what we talked about last week, and then we're going to look at 11 and 12. Everybody ready? Say ready? Amen. Lord help us. Last week we ended with chapter 2. We ended with verse 10, because we're going to kind of pick up right there. But since I mentioned that the Star of Bethlehem was obviously no ordinary star, right? In fact, given how it behaves, most Bible scholars believe that it really wasn't a star at all. Okay, the only reasonable explanation for a bright light that moves over the Son of God would be what's called the Shekinah glory of God. That's the name of the brightness that accompanies the glory of God. And the last time men witnessed this, okay, this glory was its departure when it left the temple of Jerusalem. And that was because the Babylonians came in and destroyed the city. So that's the last time that they saw this. And if you want to read more about this, go to Ezekiel chapter 10 and you can find out more about this. So for centuries, we all know, for centuries, God's glory had occupied what was called the Holy of Holies in the temple. We talked a lot about that when we went through the book of Hebrews, if y'all remember that. It says, but then, because, everybody say because. Because of Israel's sin, it departed for 600 years. It was gone. Up until what they say at this point when Jesus was born. Now, I find it very interesting that the Lord's removed His glory from Israel after the Babylonian destruction of the city came in. And then also, 600 years later, His glory returns, and it returns as these Babylonian magi was moving in. I just find that kind of interesting. I think there's a story in the story right there, but that's for another time. It's kind of like God is saying to Israel, I've ended my time of exile from among you. And this is the precious part right here, I think. It says, and God's glory is now ready to return and dwell among you again in a new way. And that's really what the Holy Spirit's all about now as far as us, as new Christians, you know. God, His glory, His Holy Spirit now lives inside of us. But this Shekinah glory explains, it really explains how the Magi found the Christ, the Messiah. You see, the star, the Shekinah glory, led them to Jesus. Just like the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit calls us into salvation. He moves on our heart and calls us to be born again, adopted into the family of God. I think that's real precious. But how did they know to follow the star? How did they know this? A lot of times we just kind of read over the story. Hey, that's kind of cool. These three cats kind of took off and went to find Jesus. We don't know if there's three or not, right? We learned that last week. How did they know to go to a certain place to find this Messiah? How did they know this? And that's why we want to take our time as we go through the Bible, we go through the scripture, as we go through the book of Matthew. We really want to be students of the Word and take our time. Amen? Remember, these magi were astrologers. They were astrologers employed by Babylon. Okay? They were employed to work with the court to be predictions and prophecies, to give predictions and prophecies. That's your notes. We'll put that one in there. Okay? They were a part of and this is kind of interesting. Ready? They were part of a distinguished brotherhood of astrologers. And that included men like the prophet Daniel. Daniel became a magi. Okay, when he was taken captive as a young Jewish noble, this was back in 600 BC. And God gave Daniel the ability to interpret prophetic dreams for the Babylonian king. You could read all about that one in the Old Testament, right? Daniel also wrote a prophetic book foretelling the Messiah's arrival, which is the book of Daniel in our Bible. In chapter 9, Daniel specified the year and the season that the Messiah would arrive in Israel. Think about that. Now we're beginning to answer that question of why did these guys, why were they interested in this? Okay? I find it interesting also that Daniel chose to write that part of his book in their language, in the Babylonian language, which is Aramaic. So for 600 years, these Babylonian astrologers, these scientists, these very smart men of that day, for 600 years, generations and generations, they've been reading this book of prophecy in their own language, predicting the precise time for the Messiah's arrival in Judea. Think about the things that were going on in their heart, teaching their children, their children's and children, about this Messiah that's coming. Daniel told us about this. He was very specific about this. So they had to be waiting and waiting, and they couldn't wait. Y'all see this? See how it applies to us today? About the rapture, the church, it's all been, you know, we don't know when and where, but we can see the signs for sure. And that's what they were looking for. Daniel was talking about the signs of the times back then of when the Christ was going to arrive. Daniel tells us he eventually became the Babylonian astrologer leader. He became the leader of the astrologers. And while in charge, he must have educated these guys about all this was going on, the Messiah is coming. Look for these signs. He told them. We know that Daniel worshiped Jehovah while he was in the court. Amen? We know all this. So he was training these guys for years. So those Gentile magi would have understood the power of Israel's God and His promise to save them through this Messiah that's coming. So they probably had a lot of hope, anticipation. Whoa, they believed. When this mysterious star appeared, they knew. They were ready. They had their bags packed, their camels ready, if they rode camels, right? They had their best shoes ready. As soon as that sign came, as soon as that star appeared, they took off. They knew exactly where they're going. Like last week we talked about, if it was in Lowndes County, we know we can get to Lowndes County. When we know the stars over there came up, we're heading there. Okay? That's why they went by Herod's place, right? They didn't know exactly what city. Like we wouldn't know exactly, like I said last week, we wouldn't know exactly where it was at in Lowndes County. It could be in Valdosta, Hayhire, you know, Lake Park, Remington. So they stopped off at the courthouse, right? They asked the mayor. He sure would know. So they stopped off and asked Herod about it. We learned about that last week. They journey off to Jerusalem to find this king. So let's go back to Herod for a minute. He hears the Magi story about the star. He asked the Magi for the exact timing of the star. Do you think he really cares about that? He was really trying to find the date. He pressured them to, what time did the star get here? What was going on? Where was it at? Because we all know, he wasn't worried about all that. He wanted to find out where Jesus is at, how old he was maybe, so he could hunt him down. Now Matthew doesn't record the Magi's answer. Okay? But given the distance that they traveled, we learned last week that the star must have appeared months earlier, several months earlier. Now, if you always imagine the Magi riding up on their little camels the night that Jesus was born, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but that's not how it really happened. The Bible tells us that it was probably a year or more, after Jesus was born. Okay? In verse 3, Matthew said Herod was troubled by the news of another king in Judea. And so Herod made all of Jerusalem feel his pain too. To kind of misquote an old saying that says, when the king ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So he made everybody miserable. We talked a little bit about that last week. Everybody with me? Say amen. All right. So now, history tells us that Herod practiced Judaism, supposedly. Okay? So why didn't he embrace Jesus the way the Magi did? Okay? The simple answer is Herod was more interested in maintaining his position of power on earth than serving the living God. He wasn't having it. He didn't want to give in. He didn't want to serve another king. He was the king, as he thought. It was all about serving himself. He valued his temporary happiness over eternal peace with God. Herod didn't want another king, and he's not alone. Year after year, every time Christmas rolls around, the world hears the same message. The same message as Herod heard. They hear of a king born to rule this world. It reminds us that God is not ambivalent about how we live. And one day, we must give an account before our Creator. The world reacts to the news of Jesus in the same way a child reacts when they get their hand caught in the cookie jar. Mom is looking from the doorway and catches him. He turns and looks, and he feels his wrongness. I want y'all to get that. He feels his wrongness. The world hates the suggestion that there is someone or something with power to judge them based on their choices. So rather than submit to the authority and seek his mercy, they reject the message. They reject it altogether. Or they try to silence it. They try to make it go away. Just like Herod rejected Jesus and tried to silence him too. In Herod's case, he knew there could only be one king, and that only one way a new king could rule was if the existing king stepped down. Don't miss this metaphor, right? So although Herod said he wanted to worship this new king, we all know he was lying. Herod wasn't prepared. He was not prepared to turn over his throne to anyone. Listen closely to this. More importantly, he would not relinquish the rule of his heart to God, who came to offer him forgiveness and redemption. Amen. My friends, that's truly what's at stake in this familiar story here. There's a new king in town. I'll say it again. There's a new king in town. Are you willing to worship him? Or are you looking for ways to deny him his throne? Have you made a place for Christ in your heart? Have you made a place for him to be worshiped and honored, respected? If we could speak of Herod today, if we could speak to him, I know he would tell us that he wished at that time he would have surrendered his life and worshiped the true king. I'm sure he would plead with us not to push the Messiah away like he did. You see, these Magi went to extraordinary lengths to find and worship this newborn Jewish king. They heard the message. They heard the word from Daniel. And having believed that word, they waited patiently. And when the Christ was presented, they took off. They jumped at the opportunity to go and serve Him. They came. We just read it. They came bowing before Him and offering Him gifts, which we'll talk about next week. Guys, they were willing to do what Jesus' own people would not do in that day. They gladly walked through the door that God had presented for all nations to be saved and to be born again. And like we learned last week, the door is open today and we don't have to travel 500 miles to find the Messiah like the Magi did. Like Paul says, Jesus is as close as our mouth. Amen? For you only need to declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you shall be saved. Doing so because you believe He is the one true anointed Messiah promised to save you from your sins. For we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in need. We're all, me, you, everybody in the sound of my voice, is in desperate need of a Savior. That's what the Bible teaches us. Faith in Christ. Just as the Magi acted in faith to do as Daniel told them to do, let's do what Jesus has told us to do. Place our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You for Your love, Your patience with us. Thank You for our guests today. Lord, as we sing this song of invitation, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here in the sound of my voice that has never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, that they would do so today. I'll be glad to pray with them. If you'd like to join our church or maybe get baptized, I'd love to speak with them about that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.